Praise God. Well, I am very happy to be here today. This place has always felt like home for us. And Pastors Sean and Heidi did our premarital counseling over 19 years ago because we just celebrated our 19-year anniversary last week. So thankful for them. And this was actually the first place that I ever preached in 2020 before I was called to full-time ministry full-time in 2021. And so some of you know my story of how God delivered me from retail, and I've been able to be in full-time ministry, praise God, selling more than toilet paper. I now give people the free gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when I was asked to preach, I immediately had what I thought was going to be what I was going to preach about. And that has shifted, and I think what I initially got turned to be more like a prophetic word for this house. So I'm going to start with that. And when I was told I was going to preach, I had this, I don't know, not really a vision, but this impression of talking about perseverance and almost that this church body, New Season, as a body, not one individual person, was almost like a grizzled war veteran, right? You've seen some things. You've been in some battles. If you meet them, they're not going to tell you about it all, but you know they've been through some stuff. You can maybe even see some scars, but they're also the person you want in battle with you, right? They're the one you want alongside you in the battle. And so my call today to start is to persevere. You were told last week that you were called for a purpose. I did my research. This week, I'm calling you to persevere. Oftentimes in the Christian church, we've been told that just get them in the door, get them their ticket to heaven, and then just be on cruise control, right? That's not what happens. When you make that decision for Jesus and you're committed to him, you've declared war on the enemy. You've said, you say, I'm no longer in the enemy's camp. I'm now fighting for my Savior. And you're imbued with the Holy Spirit and you have tools now. You have spiritual armor, but it's a fight. And you're called to persevere through that fight. Salvation is not the end of the Christian race, it's the beginning. The end of the Christian race is when we're said, well done, good and faithful servant. And none of us in this room have heard that yet because we're still breathing. Check, make sure you're breathing. Okay, good. I think we're good. So as we're called to persevere, realize there's too much at stake for you not to. There's too much at stake for your family, too much at stake for your legacy, too much at stake for you not to persevere. And if you believe the lie that there's nothing at stake, that I've had my time, that I'm just on cruise control, that's a lie. Because as long as you have breath in your lungs, you're called for more and you're called to persevere. And you have tools and giftings that God has imbued upon you to be used for his kingdom. And if all you can do is sit home and pray, that's enough. And if you're older and you've seen some things and you feel like that grizzled war veteran, you have wisdom that the younger generation needs. They need encouragement from you. They need to know that you're praying for them, that you can give them wisdom to they don't have to go through the same mistakes you went through. And you can tell of God's faithfulness in your life. One of my favorite verses is Galatians 6:9. Don't become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll receive a harvest if we don't give up. And so there's too many stories of people that have given up throughout the Bible. Just look on the news of people that have fallen from grace. And unfortunately, the last thing that you see on the news is what they'll be remembered by because they didn't finish well. King Saul didn't finish well. God took that anointing off of him and gave it to David because he didn't finish well. He didn't obey. And so our call is to finish well. And it's not a bad thing to feel like you want to give up sometimes. It's not bad to feel that way as long as you don't do it. Right? Doesn't make you less of a Christian if you fight those feelings. But don't give up. Persevere. Press forward. John 6, Jesus tells his disciples, there's a bunch of people with him, and he tells them, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't take any part of the kingdom. And a lot of people left. They're like, this is crazy. This guy's talking about cannibalism. Right? That's literally what they thought. They had come for bread. He gave them free bread. And now he's telling them, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And people left. And even the disciples said, this is a hard teaching. And Jesus didn't backpedal. He's like, okay, well, what I really mean is I'm going to go to the cross, and they're talking about communion. Thousands of years later, people are going to still be taking communion, and that's what I mean. He didn't worry about losing Instagram followers. He told the truth, and he let the truth sit with people. And then when the disciples finally said, this is hard, he doesn't like, okay, let's just huddle up together, the 12 of us, we got this. He tells them, do you want to leave too? Do you want to leave too? And Peter says, where else would I go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And sometimes if you feel like giving up, sometimes that will keep you through. Where else would I go? I'm in this. I'm not giving up. I'm not turning to another religion. I'm not turning back to drugs. I'm not turning to nihilism where nothing matters. I live for pleasure. I know where all of that leads. I'm staying true to Jesus Christ. Where else would I go? Because honestly, that's not even the best answer that Peter could have given, right? He's like, I have no options. I'm out of options. You're my only option. You know, you say that to your wife, that's not the best. Not the best thing, right? But still, that was faith for him to say that because he was struggling to grasp what was happening. And so when a hard truth comes your way, when a hard battle comes your way, when a hard thing comes in your life, you're faced with that decision where God asks you, will you persevere? Will you press through? Will you leave too? You might know people that have left the faith, that have turned the back from God. What about you? And so as we're called to persevere, we have to remember that we're not doing it on our own. We're called to be in community. Jesus said, this is a hard verse too. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And I've struggled with that verse because it's like, okay, you're saying things are going to be easy. And what I know of the Christian life growing up in the church and seeing the battles we face, it's not a get out of trouble free card to come into the kingdom. Otherwise, everyone would do it, right? He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And if you think about that, what he's trying to say is they always use examples from the time period and yoking together two oxen. They were surrounded their necks by this big wooden piece and two oxen were yoked together. And as they're yoked together, they can go further together than they could individually. And so when Jesus says, yoke with me, my burden is easy, is that when we're yoked to Christ and now it becomes no longer our own burden and doing it in our own strength, we now have the King of the universe who gives us everything we need to face the battle, to go further with him, yoking with Christ than we could on our own. Doesn't mean the battles goes away. It just means we have victory in Jesus. And so my encouragement for those that are feeling burdened, that are feeling beat up, that are feeling like you want to give up, don't. Simple, don't. But also be aware that you're in a battle, that you're not, this is not unique to you, right? This is not, the Christian life is full of people who have persevered. Just read Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, people that persevered. And so we're called to persevere. And so I'm going to pray over the sermon, but I also want to just put it before you. If you're feeling that way today, I want to specifically pray for you. And so if you know you have a purpose, but you need the persevering prayer today, if you just feel that, like I've felt like I want to give up, or I just need that extra Holy Spirit infusion in my spirit to do this, just to get through the next week alone. I just ask you to stand. If that is you today and you want that prayer specifically for you, would you stand that I need that today? I need that persevering prayer today. I need the strength of Jesus Christ to get through this. Would you be honest with yourself today that you need that? And if we could reach a hand out to people that are standing or just cover them with prayer real quick. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful so much for your spirit that fills each one of us. God, I just pray a special blessing today upon those that feel like giving up, that feel like they are done, God. Would you remind them today they are called for more, they are called for purpose. Lord, would you renew their passion, God? Would you bring healing to those, Lord, that need it today, Lord? Would you bring a special anointing of your Holy Spirit upon those that feel like this life is more than they can handle, God. Would you remind them today, God, that you are all we need, God. And once we yoke with you, that there is nothing in this life that is too big for us. There is nothing that we can't handle with your Holy Spirit, God. Would you put the spiritual armor on every person today, God, for them to come through this life, to come through this next week, to come through the rest of the year, God, with the strength that is not their own, with the passion and the zeal, God, that is beyond their own abilities, God. Would you bring a newness to their spirit right now, God? Would you bring a fire, God, that maybe has gone dormant, God, but there's still an ember, there's still a flame, God. Would you fan that flame today for more of you, God? Would there be an example in their life for others, God, that need to see the joy, the gifts of the Spirit, God? Would you remind them today, Lord, the joy they once had in their youth, God? Would you remind them of the anointing, God, that once they held dear, that is still there, God, that they just need to walk with the purpose, God, in front of them every step, Lord? Would you gird up their feet? Gird up their feet, God, to spread righteousness wherever they go, to spread holiness, to spread your good news, God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You can be seated. So my sermon today is called A Christian Paradox. Okay? If you're confused, that's okay. Let's define what... Oh, there it is. Cool. A Christian paradox. If you're wondering what a paradox is, let's define it. So it's a statement that seems contradictory or absurd, but in reality expresses a possible truth. Okay? So a statement that seems contradictory, but expresses a truth. All right? We see this in the world. The more you know, the more you know, the more you don't know. How many of you know that? The older you get. When you're young, you know it all. When you're older, you're like, I don't think I know anything after all. Less is more. That's another one. The only rule is there's no rules. Well, that's a rule, right? I mean, the only rule is don't talk about Fight Club. Okay, that's one of them. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Okay, that's another paradox. There's biblical examples all throughout the Sermon on the Mount, especially when I'm weak, then I am strong. Whoever finds their life will lose it. The first will be last. Okay, these are paradoxes. They express the truth, even though they don't make sense at first. You might have, your spouse might have said, I had to spend money in order for us to save money. I had to spend $60, but we saved $100. But we also spent $60. Okay. I used to say this phrase in retail a lot, is that the only thing that stays the same is that things constantly change. I said that so many times because things are just always changing. Okay. Now, this phrase I'm about to share with you on the paradox that we're going to talk about today came from a time of response. At our church, about a year ago, we started response time at the end of service, and we extended our services. We actually went from 3 to 2, not because we were shrinking, but because we wanted more time at the end of service to allow the Holy Spirit to move, to allow people to respond to the messages, because, you know, the more I've been in church, I just can't stand the model of coming late to service, barely worshiping, your mind somewhere else, hearing a sermon, your mind's already on lunch, and then you walk out the door, and what happened? You just checked off church for the day? Is that it? Is that what this whole Christian life's about? And so we went to a longer time where we actually allow people to respond because, and this is important for everyone, is that we are overloaded with information in this world more than ever. And you could listen to literally hundreds of sermons a year all over the place, and potentially none of them actually impact you because it's just information. Because information does not bring transformation. Otherwise, atheists that read the Bible and know it better than we do would be transformed, but they don't have the Holy Spirit in them. They don't have a new covenant heart, right? And so it's not just about information. When you hear something and you have to believe that you're in this house and your pastors bring a word from God to you every week, that they get on their knees before God, they research it, they bring it with prayer to you, to this house, that word is from them for you to digest on, for you to say, how can I apply this to me? Because after we hear information, it has to bring a revelation. And that revelation comes through the Holy Spirit to reveal what in me needs to change with this new information. with this word that came to the house that you're a part of? What does it mean for me? It's not just to hear a great sermon and go and walk out the door. So after you get revelation from the Holy Spirit of what needs to change, you have to apply it, and that is application. Once you apply it, then that brings transformation. So it's this whole, and I've done this too, right? Growing up in the church, your sermon after sermon is just like, nothing changes, right? Still stuck in the same thing. It's because I have not applied what I've been hearing for months and years. So information brings revelation and application for transformation, okay? So anyway, we started this with response time to allow people to come up and actually respond to what's been said and allow the Holy Spirit to move. And so many times I'm the one up after the sermon doing the response time. And I said this phrase without even thinking of it. And since I said it, I've been thinking about it for me personally. I've used it to counsel other people. And I wanted to write about it or do something kind of to expand this idea. And God's like, just preach about it, right? Bring this today. You're like, well, what is the phrase? Let's go. You ready? The phrase is, I contend for more, and I'm content with less. I contend for more, but I'm content with less. And that's a paradox. So how can I contend for more if I'm just content with less? So this might seem contradictory, but we are called as Christians to contend for more, to contend for God's promises. Because even though God promises things and has visions and goals for each one of us, we have to actually contend for them, because all throughout the Bible, God uses men and women to fulfill his purposes. And this makes some people upset when they think that, oh, you mean some of God's plans and purposes don't come to fulfillment? I thought God was sovereign. He is sovereign, but he also uses free will, right? Our free will. And if we don't usher in what he has promised us by being obedient and following through, many times we don't see his promises come to pass. Or he'll pick someone else like David. Or he'll have to throw us in the belly of the fish to make us go to Nineveh, right? Like Jonah. So we have to contend for God's promises. Now, contentment, I'm going to define as being satisfied with what God has given us, trusting in his provision, and finding peace in his presence. Okay? Contentment. To contend is to struggle and fight and press on towards a God-inspired goal. That's important. It's not just our goals and what we want to accomplish. A God-inspired goal, especially in the face of challenge or opposition. Contending. And so we need both. So if you contend all the time and don't find contentment, you lack peace. You're always striving. And eventually it will lead to burnout. If you're just content and you don't have any contending in you to persevere, it can lead to laziness. It can. You're just content sitting on your couch waiting for God to do something over there when he's called you specifically to do something. Corey Russell says, the laziness is the greatest besetting sin to your destiny. Laziness is the greatest besetting sin to your destiny. Now, rest is not laziness. We need rest. We need periods and times and rhythms of rest. We need a Sabbath type of experience, weekly if possible, where we can rest, get filled up with more of God, so we can then go, right? So laziness is not rest. And that's why I love Pastor Sean and Heidi are getting away to get filled up and to come back with fresh vision, right? That's very important. So we're going to look at someone who contended but also was content. We're going to turn to Nehemiah. Chapter 1, verse 3. So he's in exile. He's a cupbearer to the king. And they said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province and are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And then he has his prayer, and then move over to chapter 2, verse 1. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king said to me, why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. I was very much afraid, but I said to my king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? The king said to me, what is it you want? Then I prayed to the God of heaven. So keep in mind, he's praying in between his answer. And I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so I can rebuild it. And then, you know, I won't read it, but the king sends him with protection. He sends him with resources. He sends him with people to accomplish this, which is unheard of. He's in exile. He's a captive, right? And he was positioned as a cupbearer. And during the time, the cupbearer had very close access to the king. It was a highly trusted position, but it was also a position where you could die because you're testing for poison. So every time you're checking, you're like, I hope no one tried to off the king today, right? Otherwise, my day is going to get a lot worse. And so he's the cupbearer. Now he's forever, how many years he's been there, he's been content to be that, right? He's been content to be a cupbearer. And he did his job very well, otherwise he wouldn't have that position. But those years in position put him in the exact position he needed to be to make such a bold request of the king. And so his years of position were not wasted, right? Because when God gives you dreams and desires that are from him and not your own, he will open doors that no man can shut. And we see this in what the king, like just an unheard of thing, like not just go, but go and I'm going to give you lumber, I'm going to give you protection, I'm going to give you a letter, like all these things in the follow-up. And so again, contentment doesn't necessarily mean laziness, but Nehemiah was in a position where this was a training ground for him. This was a time of preparation so that he could go and do. And you see how much he valued prayer. He prayed before he talked to the king, and even when the king gave him that request, he prayed again. I don't know if that was like, he's like, what do you want? He's just like, quick prayer, or if he actually spent time. It doesn't say how long that was, but we do know he prayed to be able to say the right request that God had for him to say. And then God blessed it. That was an open door. And so contending combined with prayer will allow you to see God's timing and be prepared for when that moment comes. I'm not going to go into it, but I had a whole season when I was trying to get out of business and I felt the call for full-time ministry, but there was a season when I was doing a lot of random things thinking that would be the way out, and God was using that as training ground for me. So blogging, writing a book, podcasting, all these things I was doing, right, is so I could do this today because I did not like talking in front of people years ago, right? I never thought, right? But when I was faithful to where I was at and saw it as the training ground it was, God was able to multiply that and use that. And so the same thing for Nehemiah and so many more. So we're going to talk specifically about contending. Okay? Paul is a great example of both of these. And we see in his letter to the Philippians, he provides a powerful example of contending for more. He says in Philippians 3:14, I press on towards the goal for which God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is Paul, who wrote over so much of the New Testament, started so many churches. At any point, he could have said, all right, I started this church, right? I preached to the Gentiles. I'm going to kick back, right, on Cyprus or wherever beach area, right, and just kind of relax, have a nice little retirement. Paul's like, I'm going to press on towards this call, even if that means, and he was, in prison. I'm going to press on because he understood that for everything he'd accomplished, there was still more to fulfill his divine calling. And that's one thing that I've learned over the years is that there's always more with God. There's always more. There's more revelation reading his word. You could have read it 100 times, and there's always more. There's always more he can reveal to you. Many times he'll put a path in front of you requiring obedience, and then you're like, I'm not ready for that yet. And he's like, okay, whenever you're ready, right? Okay, let's see what is next here. And you go through that open door, you're like, wow, okay, there's more. There's more, there's more, there's more. And so whenever we go in that contending mode of saying, okay, I want whatever God has for me, even if that means the uncomfortable thing, God can then reveal more to us. Because he doesn't, thank God, he doesn't give us more, right, than we're ready for. If he told you the next 5-10 years of your life, it would freak you out. Because you wouldn't be ready for it. I love Corrie Ten Boom was talking to her dad, and she's like, no, I didn't have this in my notes, but it was something like her dad was telling her, you know, when do I give you the ticket for the train? And she's like, right before I need it. And that was an example of when does God give you the strength you need for what you're going through? Right before you need it. And it's those times of preparation, discipleship, and preparing our hearts and putting on our armor that will allow us to weather that storm and persevere. And God will give you that supernatural strength that you need sometimes right before you need it. And so Paul was eventually able to say in 2 Timothy 4:7, this was, some say, his last letter, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the faith, or I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Right? So Paul contended in the previous verse, and now he's like, I think I'm at my end. I have done this, I have not given up. Right? He's contended for the faith. Jude verse 3 says to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. Contend for the faith. That is our job in the Great Commission, to contend for the gospel. And that means something different to everybody as long as we are living the gospel, preaching the gospel, and being obedient to what God has for you. Right? There's so many times that we treat the Great Commission like the Great Suggestion. And it's not just for the extrovert. It's not just for people who are called to street preaching. It's for everybody. Even if that's one person you have to take out to coffee and get to know a little bit more and share what God's done in your life, that's spreading the gospel just as much as preaching to hundreds. So who is in your sphere of influence that you can impact with love? Because if we do any of the giftings or anything without love, we're like a clanging cymbal. So how do we contend for the faith? This is a responsibility entrusted to us to contend for it. If you don't think you have anything else to contend for in life, we still contend for the gospel. Because everyone who went on before us, the great cloud of witnesses, they contended even unto death for the gospel, for us to have the Bible today, for us to have this hope, is because people that went on before us contended for it. And so that should spur us on to contend for it. We see in the Bible contending where Jacob wrestled with God. He contended all night, refusing to let go until he received a blessing. And this persistence transformed his identity, transformed his destiny. We see Hannah in 1 Samuel praying for a son for years. Despite barrenness, she continued to pray fervently. Her perseverance resulted in the birth of Samuel. And so there's areas that we have to think about, where can we contend for? There's different areas of our life. One of them is marriage. Anybody in here have a perfect marriage? Raise your hand. Just checking. Okay. Married to Jesus, right? So no one has a perfect marriage. And so as long as you're still with your spouse, you need to contend for it. You have two of the best marriage counselors in the world here. Utilize them, right? You have to actually put effort into your marriage. You have to contend for it. You can't just set it on cruise control. You have to contend for your family. You have to contend if you have a prodigal in your family. You have to contend for them. That's what it's called to be an intercessor. Intercessor stands in the gap for someone else who's not in a position to pray or to be in that position of praying for that specific thing. You intercessing with them or for them. And so contend for your prodigal. Contend for your children. Train them up, right? The Bible calls us to train them up. So when they were old, they will not depart from it. It doesn't mean they will never depart from it. It just means when they're old, you've built such a strong foundation that now they're going to remember that and hopefully turn to God if they are a prodigal. So build that foundation now. Don't give up praying for them. There's so many stories I've heard, and you might be an example of that story of a mom, a grandma, somebody that did not stop praying for you, and you knew darn well they were praying for you, And that's what drove you back to Jesus, is you knew the prayers covering you. So whether that has been you or needs to be you, pray. We contend for our job. We contend for wherever God's called you, to do it as unto the Lord, first of all, to do everything without grumbling and complaining as unto the Lord, but also contending for what God has for you as a kingdom-minded thinking over your job. Kingdom-minded, right? What does it look like? There's times when you can share the gospel at work, and there's times you can't. There's times you can just be a loving person to share hope with. And there's times you can go, depending on the situation, right? I mean, I was at Target, and I knew that I couldn't really talk about the gospel because HR is there and people can complain. But for me, I didn't see it as a mission, as a kingdom mission, till many years later. And that's one of my regrets, is I wish I had seen it more as a kingdom mission, and not just always wanting to get out. And that doesn't mean I didn't act like a Christian. It doesn't mean I wasn't nice. It doesn't mean all that stuff. It just means that what I started doing the later years there was I would come in with purpose. I had anointing oil. I anointed the doors before we opened. When everyone left for the night, I'd walk the perimeter inside and just praying over it, praying, you know, spiritual dominion over it. You know, my loop around was vendors that came in the building. So we had over 40, 50 vendors of people coming in, like Frito-Lay, Pepsi, all these people stocking their stuff. That was my loop around, because HR didn't really protect them, and so I could talk to them about Jesus. And I had a lot of good examples of like, hey, what are you doing this Sunday, right? And do you go to church, that kind of stuff. Just, and so, you know, that was for me and my example. What's your example? How in your job can you either be prayed up before you go, or while you're there, share the love of Christ, right? Because you might be the only gospel someone reads. So we contend for our work. We contend for our church. We contend for this body. What is the vision here, and how can you be a part of it? Use your gifts for the kingdom. God has equipped every one of you with giftings. Ephesians tells us that. If you don't believe it, then you need to seek God and know what your giftings are, because you have them. And then we need to use them, because everyone has a specific gifting. And it's not just about doing the one thing you want to do. Sometimes it's about doing the thing that is needed. So if you stand at the door and greet, don't look down upon that. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. If it's good enough for David, it's good enough for me. And so not only be a part of the vision here, but also prepare yourself for events and for Sunday. Prepare yourself in advance. And like I said before, there's a difference coming to church, you know, fighting with the kids or the spouse, walking in the door, feeling stressed, not entering into worship, barely hearing the sermon, and then out. That doesn't fill you up for the week. It doesn't. And especially if that's your only time with God throughout the week, if you don't have a secret place, you're setting yourself up to fail. But it doesn't have to be that way. You can put things in place now to contend for your church, for your faith, for your family, for your spouse. You can put practices in place today. You can do it today. When you show up to church, come here with an expectation that God's going to do something. Come here with an expectation that it's more than just hearing a good word, that God's going to give you exactly what you need for the rest of your week. So if that means you need to listen to worship music on the way here, sometimes Saturday night I'm just in my room listening to Corey Russell and just sometimes crying, preparing myself for what God wants to do on Sunday. And so that's not just for people in quote, leadership, it's for the body, right? Contend for the presence of God. I don't have time to go into it, but I have a whole teaching on David in the tabernacle. You can actually, there's a Bible plan on the YouVersion Bible app that I wrote called The Tabernacle of David. But David contended for the presence of God in his earthly ministry. He contended to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the center of Jerusalem. That was the first thing he did once he became king, because he realized that the presence of God rested in the tabernacle, in the Ark of the Covenant, and he wanted that before he did anything else as a king. And sometimes we're so hung up on the fact that God is omnipresent, which he is, but there's also times when he manifests his presence in such a strong way that it makes you addicted for more in a good way. And that could be through a worship song, it could be at a conference, it could be a time where you're just putting yourself in a position to receive more of God's presence, right? Because like I said, there's always more. And so as long as we're longing for more, God will meet you because he comes where he's wanted and he comes on the hungry. And if you're positioning yourself in a place to receive, you're more than likely ready to receive from God. And if you're not positioning yourself, you're going to see someone else receiving and then have envy. And so position yourself to receive. And so whatever that means for you, right? We look in the Bible and we see these pivotal moments when God, you know, interacted with Gideon or came down in fire with Elijah, right? We see these pivotal moments, right? On their 80-year life sometimes, right? And we're like, why can't I have that? Well, maybe that might be one or two major examples in your life, right? But we want that every day. And the great part about being in the New Testament and the New Covenant is that we have the Holy Spirit every day. And every time that you meet with God, he's there, whether you believe it or not. And so if you welcome the Holy Spirit in and you actually listen and not just pray your requests and treat God like a cosmic vending machine, but if you actually go before him and just say, I'm just going to be in your presence right now. I only have 5 minutes, Lord, but I'm here and I'm going to give you my whole 5 minutes. I'm going to put my phone away and I'm just going to listen to you, what you have to say to me. That's being aware of his presence. And we get frustrated. We're like, I tried that and nothing happened. I'm not going to be fooled again. And that's dangerous because sometimes God wants to see how bad you want it. And if you persevere and press forward for more of God, he will meet you in his timing. But it doesn't look like how we want many times. So why don't we contend? Well, there's a couple of reasons I have here. So we don't contend for more because we don't believe that there's more for us specifically. We don't believe there's more for Tim. We don't believe there's more for fill in your name. And that is a lie that is due to a lack of identity. Because if you truly believe that you are a son or daughter of the Most High King, you will realize you have access to kingdom resources. And you can come boldly before the throne of grace to a God who hears all your requests and to realize there is more for you. And so don't believe the lie that that's great for the people over there, but I can't partake. That's a lie from the enemy because he wants to keep you bound and not using your gifts. We don't contend because we get comfortable. Get comfortable in daily rhythms. You know, just rinse and repeat. Go to work, come back, play with the kids a little bit, tired, go to bed. Maybe one day I'll have a vacation. Right? We get stuck in these rhythms. And this example came to me a couple months ago, but it's almost like this thing called highway hypnosis. Have you ever experienced that when you're driving? And you get to where you need to go, but you have no recollection of all the turns it took to get there. And you're like, wow, I made it here safely. How'd that happen, right? My mind was somewhere else the entire time. That's highway hypnosis. We can fall into highway hypnosis as a Christian. We go through the motions. Rinse and repeat. I spent time in my word. I prayed. I went to church, but I'm not receiving anything because my mind's been somewhere else and I've been preoccupied. I'm in this hypnotic state as a Christian. And days, weeks, months, even years can go by in this hypnotic state that we're in America specifically, because we have all our comforts. And we have to break out of that hypnotic state. You know how you break out when you're driving? So if I'm going somewhere where I know where to go, we still check maps because there might be construction, might be a crash, there might be a better way. So we need to check with the Holy Spirit before we go anywhere. As you wake up, as you're walking out the door, Holy Spirit, give me revelation today on what I need to do and how I need to interact with this person. I'm going to meet with them. I need a word for them. I need some peace. I need something, and see what he tells you instead of just going through the motions and rinsing and repeat, right? Talking to God is not just about your quiet time in the morning or wherever, whenever you have it. Pray without ceasing. So that's how we break out of this hypnotic state and contend. We also don't contend because it takes work. It's hard. Not easy. I had a boss tell me in retail that, you know, we'd roll out some new thing and we'd be like, well, what about this? I don't think it's going to work because of this, or how are we going to do this? And his response most of the time would be, well, it's hard to win a Super Bowl. Okay. I hated that response because it's like, okay, we're not winning a Super Bowl here. We're selling toilet paper. Let's get real. But his point was, it takes hard work to do things, right? And I get it. But it does take work to live out this Christian life. And so sometimes we don't contend because, again, we fall into that laziness that I talked about earlier. Last thing we don't contend is that we've been let down or we feel like we failed in the past. And even more serious is we feel like God failed us. I prayed, he didn't come through for me. And so what's the point contending anymore? Or we feel like a failure ourselves, right? We feel like I sinned, I knew better, I went back to it. I can't be used by God anymore. That's a lie. God doesn't see your sin like we do, because if you're in Christ, the righteousness of Christ covers it, both your past, present, and future sins. And so even though it's a blip on your radar, as long as you come back to God and say, I was stupid, I messed up, I repent, he's like, great, let's go. We got a mission. But we beat ourselves up. And we go in the sin cycle. I guess God doesn't want to use me anymore, so I guess I'll just go back to the comforting thing of sin. And we go in the cycle. We have to break that cycle. The power of the Holy Spirit and say, God, I messed up. I'm yours. I realize my identity's not changed, and I want to move forward. And I don't want this anymore for me. And see the sin for what it is. Number one way to contend is through prayer. It's in prayer and meditation on the word that we receive strategy, but we have to contend in prayer to listen and not be distracted. I said this before, but phones, right, are the worst thing to distract us, right? Get a physical Bible if your phone app is distracting because of all the notifications you have. Contend in prayer. Don't leave your secret place until you hear from God, if possible, if you can. It's a quote from John Henry Jowett. It says, in the field of prayer, it is in the field of prayer that life's critical battles are lost or won. In prayer, we bring our spiritual enemies into the presence of God and we fight them there. I love that because prayer, I mean, I just wish that we could see, you know, what's happening in the heavenly realms when we pray. That would make us all pray much more, believe me. So we have to believe in faith that things are happening, right? I mean, even Daniel said, you know, the angels came to him and he said, when you started praying, I was released to dispatch, but I was stopped because there was a spiritual battle happening. And so when you're fighting that battle that seems overwhelming, right, bring your enemies into the throne room of God and say, I'm contending, I'm praying for this, God, I need you because only you can provide breakthrough in this moment. See the value of prayer. All right, moving on to contentment real quick. So we're called to contend. Paul in Philippians 4:13 also said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? I can do all things, and we put it on our shirts and we say, I can do whatever I want. I can be president of the United States, right? I can start a Fortune 500 company. Right before that verse, Paul talks about the secret of life, of being content in all things, whether in wealth or in poverty. I know the secret. I can do all of this through Christ who gives me strength, meaning that I can be content no matter what happens in life because of Jesus Christ. That's contentment, and this verse is exactly talking about contentment. Priscilla Schreier says, contentment is the equilibrium between the enjoyment of life now and the anticipation of what to come. We're content now, and we're also content knowing God's got this, right? The world might seem it's falling apart, but to God, it's falling in place. And if we allow fear to come in and steal our joy and steal our happiness, we're giving the enemy a foothold in our life. God has not come to give us a spirit of fear, but a love, power, and a sound mind. And we're talking about a spiritual battle. And if you allow the spirit of fear, which is the demonic strategy, to enter your mind, you're giving a foothold and an open door to the enemy. And so that's how you renew it. Renew your minds with the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? To not let fear come in. And then you're allowed to experience that contentment, to know that God's in control regardless of whatever seems scary in the moment. Because the sinful world wants you to be discontented. The very basic principles of marketing 101. I got my major in marketing, and the basic principle is to tell you why you need this thing that you don't realize you need, and so I'm going to put a discontentment in your heart until you actually buy the thing. That's what marketing is, 100%. So every time you see an ad, every time you see something that tells you your life's not good until you buy this thing, it's planting discontentment in your heart. And the same thing with social media. Social media is designed to steal your contentment. Of course, that's not their mission statement, but when you're on social media, you know that if you look at certain people and all the vacations they take or the perfect marriage they supposedly have and all the filters they put on their face, you're like, wow, I wish I could be like that. And that's envy. And so you have to find that balance on social media so that doesn't lead to discontentment. Whatever that means for you, if you need to shut it off completely on your phone, but realize that every time you get on social media, there is the opportunity for you to be discontented with your life. We need to be content in ministry. If you're in ministry, hint, we all are. Back to the Great Commission. The person with the discontented heart has the attitude that everything he does for God is too much, and everything God does for him is too little. That'll preach right there. God, I did this, this, and this, and this for you. Why won't you do this? Right? It comes from a place of discontentment. To think, first of all, that we could offer anything to God, we're should be happy to be used by him at all for ministry and sharing the gospel, and yet to throw that in his face sometimes as a reason to make him want to do something for us, dangerous territory. We're not content because we don't recognize the blessings in our life. This is not just for Thanksgiving or the 30 days leading up to it where we post something we're thankful for, and it's not just for that. We need to be in a state of recognizing our blessings all year long, even the little things. We're not content because we always look at what we don't have. Again, to marketing, this is bottom line coveting. Think about buying a new car, right? Think about how many months sometimes you research. You look at all the different trim models and colors and you see what's available and you research and search and search and you find it. You're like, yes, I found my car. I got it. I drove it in the garage. 2 days later, you're onto something else. Because something is not, right? You're trying to find your contentment in things. And so sometimes we're not content because there's deeper work that needs to be done in our soul. There's either inner healing or there's trauma or we need deliverance. We need counseling. We need something to help that inner work happen so we can then be content with all we have in Christ. And then we're not content because we're always looking ahead, never enjoying the moment. We're always looking ahead to, well, one day I'll retire. One day the kids will be this age. One day I'll have a new job. One day, and not focusing on today. So we need contentment. Abraham Lincoln is the best example of this, both contending and contentment. And I love this example of failures in his life, okay? 1832, he lost a job and was defeated for state legislature. In 33, he failed in business. 35, his sweetheart died. 36, he had a nervous breakdown. 38, he was defeated for Speaker of the House. 43, he was defeated for Congress. In 54, he was defeated for U.S. Senate. In 56, he was defeated in nomination for Vice President. In 58, he was defeated for Senate, and then in 60, he was elected president. I love that. It's just like, this guy didn't quit, right? This guy, he had every reason to. He failed so much, be like, dude, just take it a rest, right? Like, you're not cut off of politics, obviously, is what he might have been thinking. And then, bam, he was president, leading our country, and he was a God-fearing man, leading it into, right, we know what happened at the Civil War and everything. Because God was preparing him to persevere, right? He didn't have everything handed to him. He had to persevere. And if you can persevere in this, you can persevere through a civil war. I mean, my goodness. So as we close, putting it all together, we need contentment. We need to contend. So I really want you to think today of what you need to contend for. What might be something that you used to contend for that you gave up on? That is a God goal for your life, but either you gave up. And again, a God goal. And there's some things that God doesn't have to, you know, manifest and tell you personally for, like a kingdom marriage, like kingdom kids, like, you know, spreading the gospel. These are things that we get through his word. And there are some things specifically for you he has told you that you need to contend for. And so to find balance in this, we need to find time to pray. We need to cultivate gratitude in our life. And we need to persevere. Just on prayer real quick, there's an amazing book I read last year called Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools from Tyler Statton. If you didn't write it down, I can tell you after. Just find me if you want to write it down. But this book is pivotal on prayer. It is the most powerful book I've read on prayer. just groundbreaking on thinking about it in a new light. And so I would encourage you to read that. Spend time in prayer, whether you want to or not. Seek community and accountability. Surround yourself with people, with groups, with people that will hold you accountable. Say, I have this thing that I'm going to contend for. I need you to come alongside me. I need you to check in with me. I need this vulnerability to make sure that I don't quit. Because left to our own devices many times, on our own, in isolation, we will quit. That's why God's called us to community, to not forsake the gathering. Isolation will kill. We learned that in 2020. So don't isolate. Be in accountability. As painful as it might be to get all your junk out and express it to somebody, do it. Because the darkness that's brought to light can no longer hide. So the longer you keep darkness in the darkness, it will continue to fester. And finally, be honest with yourself. None of us will get this perfect. This is a balance between the two that sometimes we have to say, okay, I'm contending too much. I need to back off a little bit. I need to find contentment. Or I've been content for so long and God's been growing me in the season. What can I contend for today? There's this book called Unreasonable Hospitality. And this guy who runs a restaurant, he shares a quote is, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? I've been thinking about that, especially in ministry, especially in, you know, kingdom-minded examples. What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? If you knew God was behind it? If you knew that 100% he's calling you to do this, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? I think I would be more bold. I think I would take chances. I think I wouldn't worry if the money was there or not. I think I would just do it, knowing God's behind me. So what would you do today if you knew you couldn't fail? And so as we close, I want to invite you to take inventory of your life, of which one of these two, right, that you need to focus on today, contentment or contending. One of them probably resonates more than the other. And one of them might be something you need to come before God and just say, God, I need to be content with what you've given me. I need to find rest in you. I need your peace that passes all understanding today. I need to persevere, or I need to contend for that thing, or I need to push myself more. I need to fight for a kingdom marriage or a kingdom family. I need to fight. And God will equip you. If you're ready to be used by him, ready to receive from him. As I said before, we allow a time of response to reflect, to really say, God, what are you saying for me in this message? And so I do want to pray, but I also want to pray specifically for people who are ready to be vulnerable and ready to say, God, I need more. God, I need more vision. I need to persevere. I'm ready to give up, or I need to find contentment in you. Because even if Jesus gave us nothing else in this life, he gave us his son. And we can find contentment no matter what life throws at us because we have Jesus Christ. And so if you just need to rest on the fact that you are his, that the devil can't snatch you out, that the devil might have you in his crosshairs, but you need to find shelter under the wings of the Most High, and he will protect you. So if you would be bold enough to come up for whatever God's putting on your heart and just line up the front and say, God, I want this. I need this. Lord, touch me now. I'd like to pray for physical healing today too. If you need healing at all, physical healing, would you come up over here specifically? We increase our faith for what God is willing to do. He meets you. It does take a measure of faith. So everyone else, come on up front and just say, God, I need to contend. I need contentment in my life. Whatever your request is to God, make it known. Make it known as we close today. Make your request known to God and he will hear you. Believe that this message is for everybody. And I believe, Lord, that you're going to touch people today. Lord, as we commit to you and your ways, God, show us today. Remind us, God, that you are enough. Remind us, Lord, that we have everything we need through your Holy Spirit, that we can do this life, that we can go through trials, Lord, because you went through trials, Lord, that you know what it's like to be rejected. You know what it's like to even die. And God, that resurrection power, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in each one of us, if you know Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we just ask, Lord, for you to have your way upon physical bodies today, God. On hearts. I pray against every demonic scheme to steal your joy, to keep you distracted, to take you off of your purpose, to put you back at the vomit that God called you out of. I pray against every lie of the enemy over your mind, to make you think that you're less than, to make you think that you are done, to remind you that you're not done. And Lord, I pray just your Holy Spirit fall upon those that are hungry today, fall upon this room. Allow us to remember, God, that you are with us closer than a brother, and you will never leave us or forsake us. Spend time in prayer, and I'll walk around and start praying for people here and whoever wants leadership that wants to join, Pastor Jamie, as well.